Followers of Jesus must carefully test every teaching by the truth of God's Word.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, I have an embarrassing admission about something here this morning, and I'm going to tell you all about it in just a minute. So you're going to have to hold off for just a minute on that one here. First, though, before I tell you about this embarrassing admission, I'd like us to think about something that is really a very serious thing, a very serious topic, and that is the need for discernment, the need for discernment in the church. We probably have all heard that word before. We know but what do we mean by that? What does it mean to be discerning? Well, the process of discernment is this: that it's a process of determining right from wrong and truth from error. Would you say that's an important thing to do in the church? Determine right from wrong and truth from error. Absolutely. In fact, you know, it's crucial to saving faith and righteous living is truth, isn't it? If we don't have the truth, we don't know what true faith, true saving faith is. If we don't know the truth, we don't know how God wants us to live. So saving faith, righteous living, truth is absolutely essential. We must turn away then from error or from evil and instead embrace truth and righteousness. Do you think there's any danger of false teaching out there in the world? Or is there any danger of it coming into the church? Absolutely there is. And that's why we need to walk with discernment. It's an important responsibility that we are all called to as followers of Jesus. But it is also the case, though, that God has given people to the church who have a special gift or enablement for discernment and can teach others in the church about that. So how do we do it? How do we practice discernment? Well, first I want to say this then, that I told you I had a little embarrassing admission on something, and so here it is, folks. Recently, do we have any fans of MeTV and watch, you know, like it's like Channel 50 MeTV, and there's that Svengoolie show on Saturday nights? I know we've got a Svengoolie fan here, right? Well, you see, because I'm a Svengoolie fan, see, that's only part of the embarrassing admission. There's more there, more to come. But you see, I get this little monthly email from Svengoolie that has the schedule coming up. I bet you do too, don't you, Rich? Right? That has what movies are gonna. And you know, if you're not familiar with Svengoolie, he's like a late Saturday night, and it's just like, you know, movies like Frankenstein and Dracula or Earth versus the Flying Saucers, you know, stuff like that. Those kinds of movies, those classics, right? Yeah, from Berwyn. Okay, I knew there was another Svengoolie fan here, right? You were born in Berwyn. Okay, Berwyn. There it is. So, but and it's on Saturday. They repeat. Yeah, the previous Saturday night's one, the next Saturday morning. So anyway, with that, so I get these little emails from MeTV, and sometimes they'll have these little quizzes. You know, MeTV shows old time television shows, right? And so sometimes you get these things that I have a little quiz to see how well you know the old TV shows. And a few weeks back there was one that was a quiz where you had to determine, they would give you an episode title, and you had to determine whether it was from Star Trek or from Lost in Space. Okay. Well, I was never really a big fan of Lost in Space. I've seen some of it, but I wasn't a big fan. But Star Trek, okay, here's the embarrassing admission, folks. Folks, I know Star Trek pretty well. Seen all of it many times, right? The original series, The Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, the movies. You get where I'm going here with this, right? So anyway, then. So here, then, it was just, they put up an episode title. It was either from Star Trek, the original series, or Lost in Space. And you had to determine which one it was, what episode title did that come from, which series. So I went through there, and I got them all right. You know, so there's the embarrassing admission there. So I got them all right. Now you might say, well, wait a minute, I thought you didn't know Lost in Space very well and that. Well, you know, folks, I didn't need to know Lost in Space very well because I recognized the Star Trek episode. I saw that, oh, that's a Star Trek episode title. And I'd say, so if it isn't, well, it must be Process of Elimination, must be Lost in Space, right? So I tell you this story then because it goes back. How do we discern? How do we process things? How do we discern rightly? And I think the key for us to understand with that the best way for us to discern error is to know the truth well. You see, I didn't know all about Lost in Space and those episodes. A little of it, but not a lot. But because I knew Star Trek so well, those episodes, it was easy, right? And I think in the same way, when it comes to discernment in the truth, that if we know the Word of God very well, if we know sound doctrine really well, then we can discern the voices that are coming at us and the teachings that are coming at us. Know the truth so well that we can see the error. We don't have to be experts on every false teaching out there, do we? It's good to know some things about it. And some in the church, God has given some in the church who are experts on that and can teach us more about that and can talk with people who are trapped in those kind of things. Discernment ministries. We have some folks right here in our church who have that emphasis, an apologetics emphasis or discernment ministry. Don and Joy Vino with their Midwest Christian Outreach is a discernment and apologetics ministry for that. But we don't all need to be experts on every false teaching out there. But what we do need to do is to know this so well that it becomes evident when we're exposed to something that is wrong or at odds with God's word then. So the best way to discern error is to know the truth well. So we're continuing then our series then in 1 John today, walking in discernment in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, where we see that followers of Jesus must carefully test every teaching by the truth of God's word. And that includes here on Sunday mornings. And here, all of us, we must carefully discern or test every teaching by the truth of God's word. So before we look at our text there in 1 John 4, a little context here first. First off, you recall that John is writing to warn these believers against false teaching, false teachers who had come into their midst then, and they were twisting their understanding of the person of Jesus Christ, the nature of Christ, and the nature of salvation, that they were denying the humanity of Jesus Christ, some of them. Or they were saying that there were certain things that it doesn't matter how, if you are a believer, it doesn't matter how you live, that you can walk in sin, that you can walk in darkness, that you can hate your brother or sister in Christ and be a believer. Does that make any sense to you? No. But this is what they were being told, because these false prophets, these false spirits were coming into the church and teaching them these things. So John says, no. No, we must carefully discern right teaching from wrong. Anyone who denies that Christ has come in the flesh is not a right teacher. Anyone who says that we can walk in sin, walk in darkness, walk in hatred, and be a believer, that is false as well. So let's look then a little more closely at what he says here. 1 John chapter 4. Verses 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. So we are called then to walk with discernment, to walk with discernment. And first off, we must test the spirits. You know, I wish I could say to you that this was a problem unique to the first century church. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, you know, in the early days of the church, while the scriptures, the New Testament scriptures were being written and being gathered together and understanding that, you know, there was a lot of false teaching that crept into the church then and threatened the church. And so they had to go through a period of kind of sorting all that out, straightening all that out. But then they got the Word of God together, and we haven't had any problems since then, right?
Right.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could say that? But that isn't true, right? The problem of false teaching, false prophets coming into the church has been with us from the beginning and is still there, still here. In fact, when you read the New Testament, that's one of the most prominent themes in the New Testament letters over and over again is what? Beware false teaching. Beware false teaching. And now, 2,000 years later, we still have the danger of false teaching, not only out there in the world, but making its way into the church. And that's when we need to be really careful then. So we must test the spirits. Now, some, what do you mean, test the spirits here? Well, these spirits, remember, there is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of truth, right? But there are other spirits out there. These are unholy spirits who are behind these false teaching and false doctrines. So these are false teachers, false prophets who are coming into the church. But what? But there is behind them spirits, false spirits. Sometimes what? Even demonic spirits who are teaching what Paul calls what? Doctrines of demons, right? And so we need to test the spirits. That is, test these teachings, these people that come into the church or say to be their followers of Christ, they're Christians, and yet they're teaching, they're saying things that are at odds then with the Word of God. So we must test them to see whether they are truly from God or not. Why? Because many false prophets have gone out into the world, and they're still going out today, aren't they? So test them to see if they are truly from God. So this is a responsibility, as I said, for all of us. You don't have to be someone who is... Now, has God given people who are specially gifted and equipped with discernment? Yeah, that's a spiritual gift. That's one of them, right? And there are some people that have a particular heart for that, and they're very good at that. But whether that's your particular gift or calling or not, all of us must practice discernment. Test the spirits. Test the teaching that you're hearing carefully. Weigh it up against this, which is from the Holy Spirit, right? The Spirit of truth. So we must do it. It's a commandment for us to do this. So if we're going to walk with discernment, we need to commit to being discerning men and women. We must also then know right doctrine. No right doctrine. Remember, I said that. What's the best way to discern truth from error? Know the truth so well. Because there's infinite varieties of error out there, isn't there? And it's good to know some of that, some of the main ideas of that. But we can't all be experts on every conceivable error out there, can we? But what we can do is know the truth well. What we must do is know the truth. So we need to know the truth. Know right doctrine. Look there again. Now again, in this particular instance here, the problem was is these false teachers were denying the humanity of Christ. They're saying, oh, well, Jesus, he wasn't really a human. He wasn't human in the way that you and I are human. So they were denying that he had come in the flesh, that he was human and had a human body. Look what it says, verses 2 and 3, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Antichrist is still coming, but the spirit of Antichrist is already here and has been for a long time, right? And so there were some who were coming in, these false prophets coming in, who were denying the humanity of Jesus. And they're saying, so if someone comes in and they affirm that, you know they're coming from God. But if they deny that he's come in the flesh, then you know it is false. It's wrong teaching. So Jesus has come in the flesh. That is, he is human as well as divine. Now, it's not... John isn't denying the deity of Christ, that he's God, but he's saying these false teachers are denying his humanity. So when they do that, if they deny his humanity, you know they're not from God. So anyone or anything then that denies biblical doctrine is not from God. You might say that, oh, okay, well, that makes sense, you know, because God... Is God going to send a teacher? Is someone going to have the anointing of the Holy Spirit on them, and then that person goes out and teaches things that are at odds with the Word of God? No, God isn't going to do that, is he? But you might say, but some of them, they're really nice people. Or they do good works. Or they're so kind. Or well, they may be all of those things, but if they're teaching things that contradict the Word of God, they're not from God, are they? You know, isn't it true that sometimes the worst error is the one that has truth in it, right? If something is just completely at odds and it's obvious that it's wrong, that's one thing. The worst is when, you know what, but they say some things that are true, that are pretty good though too, but you mix in a little bit, that can be the worst, right? Because they're saying some good things, some true things, well, then we just kind of swallow some of the bad stuff with it. Well, it's okay that, you know, this is a good meal. It's a good, solid, nutritious meal that, okay, it has a little bit of cyanide in it, but it's good stuff, though, too, right? No. So we need to know right doctrine. And the key element here, in John's case, in this day, it was persons who were denying the humanity of Christ. I think there's a principle for us in this, that I think the key element that we need to hold to as believers in Jesus Christ, key doctrine, is about the nature and the work of Jesus Christ, isn't it? I mean, there's other important stuff too. But man, that is so critical and essential, isn't it? That we understand who Jesus Christ is, exactly what he did for us, and what we must do in response to that, in response to who he is and what he did. That's the key doctrine for us to get right, isn't it? I think it's been said that oftentimes just about every false teaching, every cult out there, gets one or both of those wrong in some way about the identity of Jesus or the nature of what he did for us, the nature of salvation. They get it wrong in some way there. And that's why we need to know that so well. So if we're going to walk with discernment, we need to test the spirits. We need to know right doctrine and Christology, the doctrine of Christ, and the doctrine of salvation, these are especially critical for us to understand. Also then, we need to rely on the Holy Spirit, to rely on the Holy Spirit. So how can we be sure that we are discerning truth from error? Well, by relying on the Holy Spirit, because he is the key. He is the key to victory over false teaching or any other snare to righteous living. Because he, the Holy Spirit, who is in us, is greater than he who is in the world. Anyway, the Holy Spirit who indwells you, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, the moment you believed, the Holy Spirit of God took up residence within you, is indwelling you. And he is greater than he who is in the world. Who is the one in the world? It's the false teachers who are energized and directed by the one who is in the world, who is Satan. Is the Holy Spirit in you greater than Satan who is in the world? Not even close, is it? Not even, it isn't just a little bit a difference. No, it's not even close, is it? God is, because the Holy Spirit, God is infinitely powerful and great. Whereas the one who is in the world, Satan, he's a created being. He's powerful, he's intelligent, but he's a created being, he's a fallen being, and he's under God's judgment. And he is as nothing compared to God, the Holy Spirit of God. So greater is he who is in you than the one who is in the world. And so the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, the false teachers, they speak from the world. And it has a special appeal then to worldly ears. You know, people like to hear what they want to hear, don't they? And they don't like to hear certain things that may be inconvenient for them or challenge them in some ways, right? We want to hear what we want to hear. We don't want to hear the things that are painful or difficult for us. And so sometimes these false teachers come in and they'll say things that just, oh, it sounds so good and it sounds so right and it tickles the ear, right? And people fall for it because they want to hear that. Whereas the doctrine of the Scriptures, the truth, what God says, man, there is no better news than that, is there? And yet there's a side of that that people don't like and don't want to hear, though, too, right? The gospel is good news that in Christ, through faith in Christ, is forgiveness of sin, the gift of righteousness, the gift of eternal life, blessing forever in God's presence, the hope of a new heaven and new earth. There isn't any better news than that. But to believe that and accept that, we have to believe and understand and accept and deal with the reality of the bad news, which is what? That we've all sinned. We've all fallen short. We are all rightly under God's judgment, and we must repent from that, turn away from that, and receive the gift of forgiveness and righteousness in Christ, who died for us on the cross and rose from the grave. And people don't want to hear that they're sinners and they need to repent. All of us, right? Is anybody exempt from sin and the need to repent? No. People don't like to hear that, so they may turn away from that. So when we are well grounded in the Scripture, when we are carefully listening to the Holy Spirit, when we know what this says, we will not be led astray. We will not be led astray. And so the key here is for us is what? It's the doctrine of the apostles. And where do we find the doctrine of the apostles? It's in the Word of God written down here for us, isn't it? So we must walk with discernment, commit to testing those spirits, know right doctrine, and rely on the Holy Spirit to guide us and protect us from false teaching. Well, we could stop right there. And that would be enough for today, but I decided I'm going to put you all to the test here today. We're going to have a little pop quiz, all right? How many of you loved that when you were in school? Some of you are still in school, when the teacher might just say, all right, pop quiz. I don't know, it wasn't announced, but now they're going to take a quiz to see how well you know the subject you've been studying, right? Well, we've got a little pop quiz. I'm going to put a few questions up here for us. And I want to see if we can figure out whether it's simple. It's true or false. Okay, the true or false is simple. It may not. Some of the questions may not be so simple. How do you think you guys are going to do? You know, how do you think the person next to you is going to do? Yeah. Guess we're going to find out, right? But here, I have these seven questions here, and they relate to some very basic doctrines, things that are important to understand. And some of them, as stated, are true. Some of them are not true. So you're going to have to tell me, is it true or false? All right? Here we go. You can keep track. Don't keep track for your neighbor, though, just for yourself, all right? But here we go. Here's the first one. The Bible is the inspired word of God without error in the original writings. Is that true or false? Who says true? All right. Who says false? Okay, I think you're doing pretty good on that one right there, because that, in fact, is true. See, when we say that the Bible is the inspired word of God, now, were human authors, did God use human authors to write the scripture? Yes, he did. But it is also a product of the Holy Spirit of God, right? It says it is the breath of God, inspired by God. And does God lie or make mistakes? No, he doesn't. Now, does that mean, though, and here's where it might get a little tricky, though, when we say that, we're talking about what? The original writings, what God inspired in those original writings. Is it true that over the years, that as the word, as it was copied, that people made mistakes in copying, and sometimes then in translating to other languages, maybe they don't do the text right justice? And of course they do, right? So we're talking about the original writings, and that is true. Well, you did pretty well on that one. Okay, let's try this one. There is one God who has revealed himself in three different modes or manifestations: Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Is that true or false? Okay, some say true, some say false. Is there one God? Has he revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Oh, sure. Well, that's got to be true then, right? No, that's false. Because what's the key word there? Modes or manifestations. It's a heresy called modalism, which says, well, there's one person, one God, that is one person, and he acts as Father in this case. He acts as Son in this case. He acts as Holy Spirit. It's different modes or manifestations. Whereas, of course, the doctrine of the Trinity says, yeah, one God, but what? Three distinct persons. Right. I know it was a little tricky. This is why we've got to listen carefully and practice discernment, right? I chose those words, modes and manifestations, deliberately, because that's the language of the false teaching on this. Because it kind of sounds right at first, doesn't it? But when you look carefully at it, that's not the case. All right, let's try the next one here. Jesus Christ is the God-man. That is, he is partially God and partially human.
False.
False. Man, you guys are doing pretty well. But it kind of sounds good, though, doesn't it? But no, it is false. Why? Because what's the problem word there?
Partially.
Now, Jesus is the God-man, isn't he? He is God and he is man. He's human. But he isn't partially God and partially human, some kind of weird hybrid of the two. No, he is fully and truly God. He is fully and truly man. He is both. Well, how can you be one person with two natures? Well, that's one of those mysteries of Scripture there, isn't it? But he's not a little bit of God and a little bit of human. He's all God. He's all human. How about this one? Human beings were created in the image of God, but fell into sin, and are now eternally condemned apart from salvation in Jesus Christ. That's true. Now that's a hard truth of Scripture, isn't it? We are created in the image of God. We did fall into sin. As a result, we are under God's righteous judgment. We are sinners both by nature and by practice. And that brings God's righteous judgment on it. That's the bad news. The good news, though, of course, is what? That God has done something about it by sending a Savior in the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Let's try another one here. Sinful human beings can be saved from eternal condemnation through faith in Jesus Christ and good works. False. What's the problem there? That little bit at the end, and good works, right? Now, are good works an important thing for a believer in Jesus? Yes, they are. In fact, Scripture would say that if we truly believe, we should see that. There should be the fruit or the evidence of that. But that's not how we're saved. We're not saved by doing good works. We're saved, what? Through faith in Jesus Christ, period, right? How about this one? The resurrection of Jesus is a physical, bodily resurrection. And therefore, the bodies of all believers will undergo a physical, bodily resurrection. That is true. Jesus did not rise in spirit. It wasn't a spiritual. It was a physical, bodily resurrection. The body that died on the cross is the body that rose, was transformed, and rose from the grave. Your body that will die, unless we're part of the generation when Jesus comes again and we're raptured. Wouldn't that be nice to be part of that generation? But your body will one day, in one way or another, will die. But if you're a believer in Jesus, that same body is going to be raised, made glorious, just like the body of Christ. That's the biblical doctrine of resurrection. Last one here. Jesus Christ is coming again bodily, in great power and glory to judge the living and the dead, and he will make all things new. That is true, right? When he comes again, he's not going to come in spirit. He's going to come in body. The whole world is going to see him in his physical body, and he's going to judge the living and the dead. He's going to bring judgment on the world. The dead are going to be raised. They will be judged, and then that's not the end of it. Then what? Then he is going to make all things new. Right? So those are just some essential elements of biblical doctrine that are important for us. You guys did pretty good there on that. So give yourself a round of applause. I think you did all right there with that. So. So what? Well, reminder that followers of Jesus must carefully test every teaching by the truth of God's Word. Now, what I have for you here today could easily be a whole sermon series. One of the problems you have with a sermon, and Ralph knows this too, we've been working together, is sometimes you got all this great stuff, and sometimes you can't just say it all. So you have to cut some things out. And believe it or not, I did cut a good number of things out of this. But here's something I thought that, I don't want to cut this, so I just want to say this briefly and encourage you to do some research on your own on this, okay? So if we must carefully test every teaching by the truth of God's Word, the reality is, there's some bad teaching that has crept into the church, and we need to be careful of that. And I thought, you know what? I want to identify here what I think are three of the more common and dangerous elements of false teaching creeping into the church. Say just a little bit about it, encourage you to discern carefully in these matters. One is what's called word faith teaching. You're familiar with that? That's this idea, first of all, that words have power, that when we speak words, these words have power. And faith is a powerful force that we can unleash, that we can bend reality according to our words and our faith. And it's often associated with what's called with the health and wealth gospel. You know, that God wants you to be physically healthy. He wants you to be physically, he wants you to be rich. You know, all those things. You just have to have enough faith, right? Is that biblical doctrine? Not at all. But there's a whole lot of it out there on so-called Christian television, right? So you got to be careful, folks, with that stuff. Another one, something that's a newer thing now called the New Apostolic Reformation. Let me just basically say this. It's this. Berean Research, a discernment site, says this. It's a movement that claims that prophets and apostles alone have the power and authority to execute God's plans and purposes on earth. They believe they are laying the foundation for a global church governed by them. So thinking that the office is a prophet and apostle, that these are coming back now, and that they are going to be the leaders of a new worldwide movement or global church. And so they place a great emphasis on dreams, visions, extra-biblical revelation, more on that stuff than they do on the Bible, claiming that their revealed teachings and reported experiences cannot be proven only by Scripture. So they'll talk about what? Trips to heaven, face-to-face conversations with Jesus, visits by angels revealing things to them. This stuff is creeping into the church, folks. I like this quote from John MacArthur, the New Apostolic Reformation. He says, "It's like grape nuts. It's not grapes and it's not nuts. It's like Christian Science. It's not Christian and it's not scientific." Well, in the same way, the New Apostolic Reformation isn't new. It isn't apostolic and it isn't a reformation. But it is a rapidly expanding movement being generated by some of the same old troubling false teachers and false leaders that have been around in Charismania for decades, always dishonoring the Holy Spirit, dishonoring the Scriptures, always claiming miracles, signs, wonders, visions, and dreams, and laying aside this in the process. So got to be careful of that. Finally then, how many of you can relate to this last one? Cultural pressure on sex and gender. Huge thing that's coming into the church now, isn't it? We've got to embrace, we've got to love people, but we love people by also upholding truth, don't we? Upholding biblical truth on sexual morality and gender. That's big. That's a whole other topic by itself there. But those are three that I think that we need to be particularly careful of, that are challenging the contemporary biblically faithful church then. So what do you want us to do? Well, I want us to do this, to know right doctrine well. You can do that. Most important thing is to be consistently in God's Word, studying God's Word, right? Also, though, it's good to get a good Bible doctrine book, textbook, and read through that. Next year, God willing, in Wonder Lake Bible Institute, our whole class, we're going to have three classes, and each one of them is all on Bible doctrine, Bible doctrine 1, 2, and 3. So there's a great opportunity to learn Bible doctrine well is by attending that class starting in January. But you don't have to wait till then. Get started now reading the Word of God, reading a good theology, systematic theology text. If you want some suggestions on that, come and see me. Know right doctrine well. Actively practice discernment. Actively practice discernment. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that you have not left us blind in this world, but you have given us clear teaching in the Word of God. Lord, may we faithfully, actively practice discernment to uphold the truth of your Word. Thank you, Lord, that we have the promise that the Holy Spirit, the one who is in us, is greater than he who is in the world, and that he will guide us and direct us into truth, protect us from error as we faithfully study your Word and uphold right orthodox doctrine and teaching. Help us, Lord, to do this so that Jesus is honored then in our lives, so that we're preaching a true gospel and that he is honored by how we live our lives. And we pray all these things then in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.